everything from the Node Nano, the full size Node. We've got the, there's this new £1,000, it's not called a Mega Node. I want to call it a Mega Node, but it's not a Mega Node. But there's a £1,000 one, which we'll be looking at as soon as we can as well, which it promises new bells and whistles. That could be quite something quite spectacular.
Hello and welcome to Navy Forum's Hi-Fi podcast for Monday, the 2nd of September. And joining me on this edition is AV Forum's Hi-Fi editor, Ed Selly. Hello, Ed.
Hello, sir. You're all good?
Yes, good. My legs are sore. We'll discuss why in a minute, but yeah. Mm. And just the two of us, again, we're building castles in the sky yet again. But we are talking about a subject which is really causing quite a bit of confusion. And the reason it's causing confusion is there are so many choices when it comes to streaming music. And should you stream music? Is the quality good? Should we be going back to compact discs? We're going to discuss all of that because that was in the comments this week as well. So yeah, we're going to discuss that today in this podcast. Music streaming, music streamers, what are the solutions out there and which one would best suit you? And we'll try and give you some advice today on that. If you want to watch this podcast, you can do that on our YouTube channel, which is AV Forums Podcasts. That is different from the main channel. The main AV Forums channel. So it's AV Forums Podcast. Find that channel and subscribe to it. You will never miss another AV Forums podcast if you do that because they are added every Monday at 7 p.m. And if you enjoy our content, if you like these podcasts, if you like what we're talking about, if you find that they are useful to you, then they may also be useful to others. So please do share them on your social media or on other forums and so on. If you like our content, it helps us find a much larger audience and participate in a much larger community. And of course, who are we? Well, we are one of the largest AV and hi-fi communities on the internet. AV Forums has been going since 2000. We've had the editorial since 2003. And I'm Phil Hinch. I'm the editor. I started the editorial back in 2003, and we've built it up steadily over that time. I'm also PVA, ISF, and THX qualified and trained. I do most of the TV, all of the TV reviews for AV Forums at the moment, as well as a lot of the videos and podcasts and so on. And joining me is Ed. So Ed, give us a brief introduction to yourself and your knowledge.
Yes, I'm Ed Selly, Hi-Fi editor for AV Forums. I am, I've only been on the site a mere 21 years compared to you, Phil, and I kicked off editorial in 2012, so over a decade's worth of it now. Originally, I did all sorts of different things. It was a fairly hefty AV, hi-fi split, and so on and so forth. I've now been divested of AV. We have talented AV reviewers and their own podcast. I now handle strictly two-channel items. Well, that's everything from affordable headphones and earphones all the way through to extremely large amplifiers, one of which is on the front page of the site at the moment. Essentially, hi-fi and AV, as we've discussed in other podcasts, you can go back and have a listen to that, have the boundaries where one ends and one begins is blurred over recent years. So there are many times where I look at items which have distinctly AV type flexibility and features, but there are other times where it's all classic and turntables and so on and so forth. It reflects the very, very interesting times in which we live.
Yeah, lots of crossover these days, and one of these subjects is coming up today. What are we talking about today? Well, we're talking about streaming, and we're talking about music streaming. It's something that's been around almost as long as video on demand streaming has been, but we've seen big improvements in quality. We've seen streaming services go to very large file sizes, almost uncompressed audio. We can even get Dolby Atmos encoded tracks these days from a number of these streamers as well. So if you're into multi-channel music, that's also there. So Ed, it's a huge market. It's really confusing. And I know it's really confusing because at the moment I'm trying to put together a little two-channel system for my living room where I can go and chill out. I can switch off. I don't have to do anything AV-wise, but I might want to listen to some vinyl or put on a favorite album, whatever, or stream audio. And it's confusing the hell out of me in terms of what product I should choose and so on. So maybe give us a brief overview of the market as it is now in 2024, and then we can maybe deep dive a little bit into what people may look at in terms of products and services and so on.
Yes, it's very fair as a way of doing this, and it's logical to begin right at the beginning by pointing out that just to make streaming quite complicated, it can mean two different things. And in fact, it's interchangeably used between those two different things. When people talk about streaming, they can mean that they are accessing content that they own that is stored on a hard drive or server on their network, and they are playing it back via a device which is reading that file and playing it to an audio system. They can just as easily and interchangeably mean that they are accessing a file via an on-demand streaming service, and it's coming from a server God knows where, and it's coming down through the pipe. They don't own the file. The device in question is simply accessing a file which is stored an enormous distance away, and it's a one-time only thing. And then just to be, you know, properly pedantic, and most of the streamers that we look at on AV forums are perfectly capable of performing both of these things at the same time. This shapes what you need to look at for your streamer, because if you already own a lot of content, now I'm not getting any younger, unfortunately. So I've taken a large quantity of CDs. I have ripped them over the years. They are stored in FLAC and AIFF. And we're going to talk, lots of acronyms will crop up in this. And what we're going to do is, some time ago, I wrote an explainer of lots of different acronyms and all the rest of it, and we'll pop that into the thing rather than stopping at every point. You can read that. It's still relatively up to date. If it isn't, do shout. So I've got my CDs ripped. They live on a server, and I access them on a routine basis. When you read reviews and I mention of an album, for the most part, I own it. But there's plenty of people who have grown up in a world where buying CDs is archaic. They just don't do that. And as you point out, Phil, streaming services have gone from something where you could listen to an MP3 or posh MP3 of something, all the way through to listening in significantly higher resolution, if not out and out quality, than CD. So there's no call for you to own the music if you don't want to. There are caveats to that. It may not always be there. It may change in quality, and so on and so forth. So you've got to decide what your major, you know, as I say, most of these products will do both things, but it depends what you want to do as to where you start looking. If you are a streaming service person, for example, we've covered lots and lots of products that use the BlueOS operating system, the most recent of which is the most affordable, the Node Nano. BlueOS is, with the exception of Apple Music, which is a complicated streaming service, and there are reasons why it very rarely crops up with streamers. With the exception of Apple Music, it supports everything else. It supports every streaming service you've ever heard of, and a lot of streaming services that you haven't. There's lots of region-specific ones where you look at it and go, what the hell's bugs? And that would allow you to make to simply log your details in, and you will be able to access the content that you've favorited and saved and know where it is and so on and so forth. It will all appear. And that's, you know, the if you like that, the moment remains the ground zero of listening to on-demand services. From there, it sort of diminishes down. If we accept that almost every streamer I've ever tested on AV forums supports Spotify in one shape or another, from there, you start adding services in the approximate order of Tidal, for which there is a review on the site, Qobuz, for which there is a review on the site, Deezer. And then after that, it becomes a bit more of a sort of random thing. So Napster, which does still exist, it is no longer a pirating site. All of these services exist in varying levels, and products will support them if you genuinely need that to be your streaming service of choice. From there, this is the most important thing I'm going to say in the entire podcast. It's much more important than choosing a product that sounds good. Choosing a product that sounds good in 2024 is really, really easy, because almost everything sounds very, very good. You've got to test that interface. I don't care how you do it. Go to a dealer, look at a friend's, look at the various videos of people who simply cast their screen, and you can see what the apps do. I put it to you that if you don't like how the app works, you won't use the product. And it doesn't matter how talented it is. It doesn't matter what other features it got. It could, you know, EQ out the most impossible room nodes. It could have VU meters that you can view at a distance of 2 miles. It could be made out of casework that could stop small arms fire. None of these things matter if the app and control interface does not agree with you. This is just too important not to labour the point on. You are of a vintage not dissimilar to me, Mr. Hinton. So you, CDs were a big part of your existence. I put it to you, obviously you use a variety of, you know, means of accessing content, but I don't know about you. If I want to listen to an album in an app, what I would like it to do is, if I go onto an album, if I press track one on the screen, I would like it to play that album in its entirety and then finish. If for whatever reason, as is often the case with hip hop albums of the 90s and early 2000s, they've got a crap intro track, which I don't want to listen to, I want to start on track two, and it will do exactly the same thing. It will start on track two and play through to the end. And then when it's done, it'll stop. There are a number of apps. This to me is an entirely logical way of listening to music, but it is not completely logical for people generation or two generations younger than me, where actually, if they want to play a track, they want it to play the track and then stop. And you've got to look at what the app is set up to do. Because sometimes they have it, so you physically have to press a play all button for a whole album to play, or sometimes they work like glorified CD players and you just start wherever you want and it runs to the end and then it stops. If I review products that use the other system, I will, you know, review them positively, because I've come to terms with the fact that not every single product on earth is designed to appeal to me. It's been some time getting my head around that, I stress, but you know, we got there in the end. But you need to work out what works for you and what you want it to do. I haven't actually supplied Stuart with a link with this. It's probably this as well, because I don't want him to link to the product. I'm about to be slightly critical about. We've reviewed a number of Denon and Marantz products over the years, and they use the HEOS multi-room operating system. HEOS is very stable. It supports a decent number of streaming services. It scales to multi-room. It does all sorts of clever things. But I physically do not enjoy using it. I couldn't live with a HEOS product. The way that it operates in terms of its queue, in terms of it wants you to hit play all buttons rather than play single track and so on and so forth, it would annoy me to the point where I wouldn't use the product. But equally, there's a number of people on the forums who are particularly keen on HEOS. So it is enormously subjective. And this is subjective in a different way to performance, to sound quality, to how something looks. It is absolutely innate to streamers that you have to enjoy the business of using the app and accessing your content. If it doesn't meet that criteria, you won't use it, and you will waste anything between a couple of hundred and a couple of £1,000.
Mm. And the UI is the most important thing.
Yeah,
when it comes to technology nowadays. Yeah, it's you have to get on with it. There are some smart TV systems as well, Ed, very much like streaming systems, where Samsung's Tizen. I cannot get on with Samsung's Tizen system for whatever reason. It just does not feel intuitive to how I expect something to work. And it's always been that case. So yeah, I think UI is definitely important. I think the other thing that maybe people struggle to get their head around, Ed, and maybe we can simplify it for them, is when it comes to what it is that they are actually playing back from these streaming services.
Yes.
So not what they have on their hard drive, but what they are actually getting in terms of audio quality, file quality, when they go to these various streaming services. And maybe we can break that down for them, because I know some people, you know, they'll think, well, this is dead obvious, Phil, but then there'll be others out there who are, you know what, I don't actually understand this too well. And you know, am I actually getting hi-fi quality? Am I getting good quality if I listen to Spotify versus Tidal versus Deezer or whatever? So maybe break that down a little bit for them and give some guidance on what they should be looking for.
Absolutely. Right. If we're doing this, when I say bottom and top, what we're talking about here is in a notional quality sense. This is not a reference to library sizes, bells and whistles, family plans, all the rest of it. In a simple qualitative sense, at the bottom of this particular pile, we've got services, Spotify, YouTube Music, Napster, all of which are exclusively compressed. If we take CD, the grand old format itself, that is two channels of information, 16 bits at 44.1 kilohertz, and it works out as being roughly, as a maximum, 2,350 40, someone will correct me if I'm wrong, kilobits per second, KBPS. The three services we talked about there will deliver a maximum of 320 KBPS in their streaming. So they're significantly smaller, but they can sound perfectly good. And for things like car use, you aren't going to tell the difference. I've done a tragic amount of comparisons between streaming services in my car. And I can assure you that on a stock Volkswagen Audi Group audio system, I can't tell the difference between Spotify and CoBuzz, especially once I'm shouting at other motorists and driving at speed. So those are convenience-led compressed streaming services. Then, in a world pretty much of its own, we've got Deezer. Deezer supplies, in its highest quality option, CD-sized files. They are 16-bit, 44.1 size tracks. It does have a compressed option which you can select if you are needing to conserve data or so on and so forth, but there's no greater than CD quality. Deezer has decided that CD, that's what they want to offer. And you know, there's a certain consistency. There are certain situations, a conversation for another time, where that actually works quite well. From there, we then have this amazing growth in services which offer both CD-sized and greater than CD-sized files. So going back to CD, 16 bits, 44.1 kilohertz, the services I'm talking about now will do files, a small number of files. It's very important to stress that it's far from the majority of content, is available in 24 bits up to 192 kilohertz. It's a massively larger file than a CD-sized file. And the services that offer this are Tidal, CoBuzz, Amazon, Apple, and Hi-Res Audio. I think that's it at the moment. Although the idea that there would be competition able to offer that is in its own way quite extraordinary. There's a bare minimum. All of these services will stream at a level where CD is the minimum size file, and those Hi-Res files are available. They also offer the ability to stream in compressed for convenience purposes. If you are using CoBuzz, Tidal, to a lesser extent Amazon's got some funny habits, which again are actually mentioned in a review I did on the site. You can, with decent recordings and a decent internet stream, you can achieve better than CD quality, and you can achieve it for less than the price of a CD a month. And that's an extraordinary step forward. They're very, very good at what they do. What I found interesting, I've done a number of group tests over the years where I've had to listen to all the streaming services. You may assume they all have the same files and the same sample rate, but weirdly and intriguingly, they do not. So they have different means of obtaining their high-res content, and it's not a given that what you listen to with a high-res sticker on it on Tidal will be the same as CoBuzz, for example. So again, it pays to have a look round and work out which of these services is going to work for you. The last area that's worth sort of mentioning is that CoBuzz and Hi-Res Audio in particular are also storefronts. You can buy almost all of the content that is on CoBuzz and you can own it yourself. Why would you want to do that when it's constantly available for a fixed price? Well, it's not always constantly available. Certain files disappear. There are arguments between record labels and streaming services. There are arguments between artists and streaming services. If you want the content to be there every single time you turn your system on, you need to own it. It's not, I could dress that up, but that's the reality of it. It's exactly the same with relying on all of the video on demand services to cover off your movie needs. You know, last night I set out to watch Ghostbusters 2 because my son had never seen it. Obviously, you can watch Ghostbusters on Netflix. Ghostbusters 2 requires you to dip into your pocket and buy. So don't assume it's going to be there and it's going to be there all the time, because it will not be. But that is your breakdown of streaming services as it is. And in exactly the same way that we were talking about the interface for streamers, certain streaming services do things that are, for me, extremely annoying, and others do things extremely well. If I had to choose one streaming service to use for the rest of my days, it would be CoBuzz. I like how it delivers new music. I like how it can always, always tells me what the sample rate of what I'm listening to is. I like having the opportunity to buy things, and I think its curated content is the best of the pack at the moment. Other people place different priorities in different areas. So, again, use your free trials. Choose the one that actually works for you and is something you enjoy using, and not simply going for the cheapest one, because you might end up being irritated by it and not actually making use of the subscription that you're paying for.
And again, there's no such thing as the silly question, Ed, but I know, again, people struggle getting their head around this. And how do they get this quality to their hi-fi? Can they do it from their mobile phone and
yes.
open the app on the mobile phone and send it to their hi-fi? What are the different ways that they can then access this rather than just buying a bit of hardware that they set onto their hi-fi? Can they use their iPad? Can they use their Android phone, their iPhone, all that kind of thing? I mean, we know the answers to this, but obviously we want to try and, you know, bring people into this hobby and help them to understand how they can access this high quality audio.
If you are an iPhone user, either with Lightning or the newer USB-C connections, using either the Lightning to USB adapter in the older models or actually just a USB cable for the latest iteration, any of the streaming services that you can legally install on iOS will arrive into a USB DAC at the sample rate they're supposed to be, with the exception of Amazon, who, for reasons best known to themselves, mess around with the output sampling rate of their app. Don't ask me why. Amazon's never actually publicly commented on it, to the best of my knowledge. But if you use Apple Music, Tidal, Qobuz, you can simply go straight out the phone. And the only thing is that you'd either need to have a very long USB cable, or you'll just need to put it down and come back to it. That's the only reason, in an absolute sense, that precludes you from using your mobile device as a streaming service access point for your hi-fi system. They are perfectly capable of receiving the same sized file and taking it out to decoding. And in theory, with the iPhone, you could use a little funny dongle thing that generates a 3.5 mil output and just go as an analog output into an amplifier. That will sound less good for the most part than using a USB DAC of any description, but you still can do that. If space and budget is tight, it'll work. And what's more, with a bit of work, you can also use those mobile devices to access content on your local NAS drive as well. Android is the same. Android isn't actually as slick as iOS, and I say this as an Android user. You may need to use a specialist app to make sure that you get the correct sample rate out of the phone into the DAC, but that'll cost you about £1, so we're not talking about big outlay here. iPads work exactly the same way. Most Android tablets work exactly the same way. So that, in an absolute sense, if you've got no money and you've already got a phone subscription plan, that'll work. Dedicated streamers start to earn their keep on two levels. For starters, they're always there when you need them to be. And if someone rings you, your hi-fi system isn't an integral part of the call. So, you know, that's worth bearing in mind. And from there, performance starts to increase and improve. Now, it won't have escaped the notice of people who've been reading reviews lately. I have to be completely honest. The quality of affordable digital in this day and age is exceptionally good. So before we went online, I put a potted link to streamers for Stuart, who's silently sitting in the background manipulating things that appear alongside me in the actual thing itself. So we've already covered the Blue Sound Node Nano as being an affordable way of getting into, you know, where if you like things start. There are also less expensive products than this that we've looked at from WIM and so on and so forth. But the Blue Sound went in because it's an example of being able to get into a truly excellent operating system. From there, we've looked at comparatively recently the Cambridge Audio MXN10. That's an extra £150. And it largely does exactly the same things as the Blue Sound. It's actually less good at having multiple Blue Sound objects. You can't have multiple Cambridge Audio products in the same way as the Blue Sound one will. But it does sound better. It's made out of metal. It's slightly nicer to use as well, both in terms of interaction because of the way it's hard button system. And I'd have to say, I think its app is a gem. And then after that point, it's another £300 jump to, weirdly, what is still one of the most read reviews I've ever done, the Eversolo DMPA6. That's a combination of front panel touchscreen with full color display, so it will show your art. It has a lovely app. It has its ability to have a hard drive in the actual chassis itself. So if you don't like the idea of having a separate server, you can store your music on the hard drive in the Eversolo and then use it to access streaming service content additional to that. And then referencing just how tight these things are, I've looked at streamers between the Eversolo and where we're going next. But the next step off of something which is meaningfully differently and intriguingly better is the name NSC222, which I seem to recall is knocking on £6,000 these days. Now, don't get me wrong, between £750 and £6,000, things do still make incremental improvements and you gain functionality that may or may not be extremely important to how you operate a system. But the name is a digital analog preamplifier with a truly beautifully honed streaming app, and a fantastic control interface and a really, really good audio sort of engineering solution to it. Like so many other parts of hi-fi, and we've covered this in previous podcasts, there's a bit of a gap between unbelievably talented, affordable stuff and then the high end. And how you choose to bridge that, or even if you want to bridge it, is entirely up to you. There's one last stop in this very quick potted where we are with streamers before we fill in some of the gaps afterwards. We've talked about plugging your phone into things. We've talked about standalone streamers. There is a third way. A lot of products that we've tested, the vast majority of products we've tested over the last couple of years, have got digital inputs. We test any number of integrated amplifiers with USB input. If you just want to use the decoding of your DAC or amplifier or so on and so forth, you can use essentially third-party software on a platform, be it your laptop or a dedicated piece of hardware, like a server, to run software that is independent of a manufacturer, a specific manufacturer. The most widely known of these, and something I'm particularly fond of myself, is Rune. There is a Rune review on the site. I believe it's going to get linked to, because I put the link in there. A number of streamers can access Rune in addition to their own streaming interfaces, but Rune is in itself its own controlled interface. So if you've got a USB DAC that you really like, you can build a Rune server or have someone build a Rune server for you. And that will just go out via USB into your DAC or your amplifier or anything else with digital inputs. And that has the advantage where if you choose items that are Rune compatible, you can build a household of items which you can control in multi-room from multiple different manufacturers, which is quite a neat stunt. But as with so many quite neat stunts in the hi-fi industry, it is not cheap. Rune charges you for their service, either on subscription or lifetime membership, and you will have to pay for the hardware to run it as well. So it's something I definitely advise giving the free trial a whirl and seeing if it works for you. But it's, if you genuinely don't like any of the interfaces that you've played about with, it could be an interesting other way of going about these things, because it gives you a different way of accessing content. And one thing that Rune does that, to the best of my knowledge, no other streaming platform or piece of software does anything like as effectively. I have active subscriptions to Qobuz and Tidal, and I have a library of my own music equipment, musical files, sorry. Rune is the only service where all of those libraries, so my favorites on those streaming services and the material that I own, is combined into one library. So everything shows up in a continuous stream, and I can arrange that by album name, search by artist, search by date of release, and it all shows up in one cohesive library. And every time I test items that just don't do this, it's tremendously frustrating, where I have to leave my music library and then go off to Qobuz to find some favorites there, or maybe I saved it in Tidal because it was only available on Tidal, and it just becomes quite fragmented. It's nowhere near as satisfying to use. So if you have this split between your own content and content that you're accessing via streaming services, there's absolutely nothing that can touch Rune for things like that. But you are invited to pay handsomely for the privilege. So it's probably not something you want to look at as a starter item, but it may be something that begins to appeal the more that you sort of come to terms with your own library.
I have a question for you, Ed, regarding Rune. Again, it's not a service that I have subscribed to or used, but it's something that's on the radar, and I may very well do that. One question I do have is that obviously you have these products that are Rune ready or Rune enabled and so on.
Yes.
If I had four different devices that were Rune, I don't know, Bluetooth speakers or whatever that were Rune ready or Rune, can I play the same thing through all of them at the same time if I select them through? So it's a true multi, it could be
it's
a true
multi-room. Now, absolute cards on the table time. latency compared to blue sound, which is supernatural. I've had six zones of blue sound testing at one time, and you hit play all, and they genuinely are in sync, perfectly in sync, because blue sound knows the latency time of all of their products. So it goes, oh, it's a Pulse 2i or a Node Nano, and it can put fractional milliseconds of delay in. So everything literally sounds perfectly in sync. Room, it can make a whole room, a house worth of stuff, play the same thing at the same time, but you will find very fractional differences in latency, or at least I do, between different items, because they have different lengths of signal path and different sort of buffers and so on and so forth. But no, you can move content around from room to room with you. You can have a party mode, and it's pretty seamless. And I believe that Rune doesn't make the same claim that Blue Sound does. I don't think they say that they're good for 40 zones, but I know people with 8 or 10 Rune zones, and they all seem to play along quite nicely.
And again, that adds another benefit, doesn't it?
Yes.
Through, to your home or whatever, if you want to have these different areas where you can. And I again, if you and your partner are using the same Rune account, I'm
Yes.
assuming that if one is in one area of the house and one's in the other, you can listen to different things at the same
Correct.
time.
Yes. My partner, ironically, doesn't use Rune. She regards it as unnecessarily complicated, but my son does. So yes, I can testify to the fact that even my relatively straightforward Rune core, which is not was not selected for its ability to do multi-rune, is capable of doing two different zones being controlled independently, perfectly happily.
Okay, so I think we've covered the basics and some of the bases, and I'm sure people do have questions and so on. So head over to AV Forums if you do. We have a wealth of knowledge over there. All the members over there are day-to-day users of this tech, of these products, and so on. And of course, myself and Ed dip into the forums now and again as well. So if you at Phil Hinton or at Ed Selly on the forums as well, if we get a chance, we can dip in and also answer your questions for you. But head over to AV Forums, over to the Hi-Fi section. There is a music streaming section. Go ask your questions there. Go read up if you want to find out a little bit more. But we're going to fill in some of the gaps there may be at the moment. So we talked about mobile, Ed, and we talked
Yes.
about shoving a USB lead in there. Are there other ways that we can use our phones maybe wirelessly to products and so on, like Apple AirPlay or
Yes.
other things like Bluetooth? And what are the sacrifices or compromises we then have to make in terms of audio?
A very large number of streamers, I would say the overwhelming majority, are AirPlay compatible or AirPlay 2 compatible. And a significant number support Bluetooth. Both of these are never going to give you anything more than, on a good day, something getting close to CD resolution. If you have a high resolution streaming service, Bluetooth and AirPlay are not going to be giving you what the service is capable of. But that's not to say that these things aren't very useful. As a quick and dirty means of accessing content, YouTube is a classic example of this. It's brilliant. You can simply just get the audio off something that, someone uploaded a bloody mixtape of something that you last heard when you were 12. The absolute quality of that is going to be limited anyway, and AirPlay is the quickest and easiest way of getting hold of that, unless you are a YouTube music subscriber, which is subtly different. Bluetooth is exactly the same. It's important to stress with AirPlay and AirPlay 2. Bizarrely, when something is listed as AirPlay 2, it actually still supports both standards. AirPlay is a connection between one iOS device and a receiver, and it can be up to CD quality or near about CD quality. AirPlay 2 is a multi-room thing where you can send to multiple devices at the same time. To make that stable, it's actually a smaller stream. So a number of streamers, either officially or otherwise, will let you choose between AirPlay and AirPlay 2, depending on whether you're sending to a household's worth of stuff or you're sending to one item, because that will give you a higher quality stream. Bluetooth is less finicky about this. It'll just do the best it can by recognizing the your sending device and your receiving device will compare their certifications and go for the highest mutual service certification that they've got. I wouldn't necessarily say that these functions are the key to the basing an audio system around, but they're incredibly useful to have to hand. Now, in addition to these two, a number of streamers, but far from all of them, support Chromecast. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with Chromecast. Chromecast is capable of streaming qualities which allow for the transfer of full high-resolution files. It's an extremely capable platform. It's also, I don't know what your experiences are with it, Phil, sometimes it just decides to be a complete and utter pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. On occasions, I have Android devices here. On occasions, I had, Google Pixels and things which are supposed to be Google's own stuff, and it still doesn't want to play nice with Chromecast. It can be used to stream files of any quality that is, widely commercially available, and they'll do decent things. But I'm hoping that someone comes along and vigorously disagrees with me and tells me that their Chromecast is unconditionally stable under all conditions, because it would give me some hope that I'm just doing something wrong. But Chromecast is a more limited availability option, but it is a higher quality one. You can send files with very large files with no compression using Chromecast, and it does have some quite formidable multi-room abilities if it's been set up correctly as well. So those are, if you like, three additional sort of platform points. Something else that's worth mentioning is that almost all streamers have access to internet radio services, but not all streamers are created equal. Cambridge Audio's internet radio platform, for example, is extremely good. It's very easy to search for stations. It's very transparent about the quality you're receiving. Blue Sounds internet radio is extremely good as well. WIM, current darling of a number of people on the forums, very clear about this. I think WIM products are excellent. I've reviewed them to that effect. Do I think that WIM's app is as good as Blue Sound or Cambridge Audio's? Absolutely not. It's got more bells and whistles, and people are confusing, oh, they're adding features all the time. They are, but as a means of accessing music, it is not as nice to use as some people who have been doing it for longer. I'm sure they'll get there. They haven't got there yet. So, for example, I don't think WIM's internet radio implementation is anything to get excited about. And I don't like actually how it displays large quantities of albums either. So, again, it goes back to subjectivity. But if internet radio is a big part of your existence, do check to make sure that your streamer can do things like access BBC Sounds and get hold of the stations that you want in the quality that you know them to be available in. Otherwise, it's going to be a disappointing experience.
One thing, I'm trying to think of things here that are maybe, the silly questions that people think about that they're scared to ask, and I won't ask them for people, but is there a chance that you go and buy a piece of equipment and then find yourself actually going down a rabbit hole you don't want to go down? So say you go and buy a Marantz amp and it's got Heos, or you go and buy a NAD and it's Blue OS, or each manufacturer has their little thing. Yamaha has their yes. music cast and so on. How do people go about finding what works for them, even if they already have a product that they own? Other ways other than Rune that they can maybe bypass the system that the manufacturer wants them to use? Or are they locked into using
the system? They're relatively locked in, and especially in the case of things like Heos, that really doesn't like you using anything else. There are third-party UPnP apps available for iOS and Android, things like MConnect, Bubble, etc., which will give you a stripped-down access of your own library and a very bare-bones access to things like Tidal and Cobuz. But you probably won't find them that satisfactory to use day to day. I cannot stress enough, this goes back to the whole physical dealer business. Get hold of the device you want to use and then try using the app on the things that you own. It's all very well something having an amazing iOS app, but if you're an Android phone user, that's completely irrelevant. A brand we haven't talked about very much, we haven't actually reviewed many of their items actually, a company called Auralic. They have a tremendous iOS app, which is just as well because they don't do Android at all. So it doesn't matter how good you might find their product to use. If you're not in the Apple ecosystem, it's going to be a pain in the ass to control because you'll basically need to subscribe to Rune. So just get time on using the item over its app and its control interface. I cannot stress this enough. It doesn't matter how good it sounds, and they generally speaking all sound pretty good. If you don't enjoy using it, you won't use it. And it's exactly the same as you say with televisions and so on and so forth. You want the content that you wish to access in a way that makes sense, and you need it to work every single time. And that is more than the number of DACs, the sample rates, whether the casework is made out of unobtainium. That's the thing that matters the most. Mm. and it doesn't correlate to price. There are, as I say, Blue Sound's churning out a £300 little plastic puck with a tremendous streaming app on it. There are high-end companies churning out tremendously beautifully engineered products with apps that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And economies of scale help here, but for God's sake, try it before you buy it, because it could lead to a significant level of regret.
And like I said earlier on, go to AV forums, go to the music streamer forum, see what other people are doing. If you're a little bit confused or you don't quite understand how something works, don't be scared to ask what you might think is a silly question, because we've all been there. We've all encountered something in this industry where actually, I don't understand this. Somebody explain it to me. Don't be scared to go and ask on the forums. They're a friendly bunch. They will help you out. And again, if you at Ed Selly or at myself on there, if we have the time, we will pop in and try and point you in the right direction as well on these things. I guess we need to start talking money, Ed. I know it's not really the done thing, but we're talking about people spending in some cases quite large sums here, depending on what route they go down. So the all-encompassing bit of software that we talk about, Rune, that's the one that more or less will work with most bits of kit out there if it's Rune
A
Ready
fair
or Swamp.
quantity of stuff,
What are people looking at in terms of subscription costs and what they get for the money by using a system like that? And bearing in mind that they will also have to have other subscriptions to other services for
Yes,
it all to tie
absolutely.
together.
Rune now has a monthly subscription. Hang on, I wish this. Let me bring this up. Rune, okay, pricing. And of course, it's brought it up in dollars for a laugh. But there's obviously it's going to be. I imagine this is going to be a pot dollars to pounds for.
It usually is.
There's it does. It's $14.99 a month if you just want rolling. It becomes $12.49 a month billed annually, and lifetime. This is quite a bit more than I remembered paying. Lifetime for Rune at the moment, and this is just a piece of software for which you will need to then have active Tidal or Cobuz subscriptions and the hardware to run this on, is $830, which is quite a lot of money. And
However,
it's extremely good, but that's not money you lose down the back of the sofa. That's broadly
it's
speaking.
not. But then, if you're talking about, like you said, the cost of an album these days on vinyl,
Oh, no.
that's not a hell of a lot of money when you start talking or start looking at what it is that you have access to. So again, Tidal is going to cost you. Now, Tidal did a really good thing, and I think sometimes, we're very quick to get on the backs of companies like this when they're on a money grab. But actually, Tidal did a very generous thing recently, didn't they? Because they had a number of tiers and they just said, you know what, we're going to make it nice and easy for everybody. There's two tiers and there's one price for each rather than different tiers and different pricing. So at least one of them out there listened and said, you know what, let's make it nice and simple. And if you want a hi-fi or higher, you pay the one price.
No, absolutely. And it must be said, the actual streaming services, it's cutthroat. Everyone's desperate for your custom. So don't overpay. As you say, Tidal were at £20 a month and realized that they were somewhat over the odds, and it's come down significantly since that point. Tidal and Cobuz, I think they're hovering at about the £12, £13 a month. I pay an annual Cobuz subscription. It saves me some money. It just means I can just forget about it and so on and so forth. Tidal doesn't do an annual subscription. In their drive for simplicity, there's no annual sub, which was potentially going to annoy a couple of people. If there's lots of you in a household, look at how their family plans are. Again, Cobuz has an excellent family plan. So does Apple. And obviously, Spotify is not bad at it either. I'm currently paying for one of those. So again, choose what works for you. But compared to the price of the hardware or very specialist bits of software, streaming services, because they're all desperate for your customer. Well, there's two levels to streaming services. Some of them are desperate for your custom because they wish to make money. Others are owned by companies that have more money than God and simply wish for you to subscribe to them, so they demolish the ones that do want to make money. I'm not going to say who's who. You can probably work that out for yourself. So, yeah, I mean, if your streaming service has a space program, I put it to you that they're possibly not that immediately concerned about curated content and other niceties. They've got other things to be cracking on with. So, yeah, that's just choose what works for you. Have a look. There's always deals doing through credit cards, through insurance providers. Subscribe to this, get a couple of months of that. Apple Music. I know people that never pay for Apple Music. They either buy an iOS device in the household just about often enough to keep it rolling on a lifetime subscription, or they tend to get binned it when they resubscribe to newspapers and things like that. So you can find that these things are extremely good value for money if you pay a bit of attention to it.
Yeah. Have we covered everything, Ed?
Almost certainly not. But if you've got questions, just ask. And if you started by reading those four stream reviews that we mentioned earlier, so Blue Sound, Cambridge Audio, Ever Solo, and Name, it's going to give you three different points in the market, three of which are quite close together but still quite different in what the products are, and then one high-end one, and it'll give you a relatively accurate flavor of where we are in 2024. So see what you think about that. And just spoiler review, sometime this week I am receiving, after an interminable delay, a Wim Ultra. So the Wim fraternity, contain yourselves, please stop messaging me. It is turning up and I will get it reviewed for you. Okay.
Right. So, I'm going to put you on the spot, Ed. If you were me, mm-hmm. in my current situation where I am thinking about setting up a little two-channel system for a little bit of relaxation on an evening, which streamer will you be adding into there?
Is it just for that room, or is there a chance there being more added at another point?
Probably, I'd probably want it to be a multi-room system at some point.
Multi-room, and it's very hard to look past Blue Sound for that, because they're just exceptionally good at what they do. If it was just one room, the Cambridge Audio MXN10 is an absolute bargain. But Cambridge Audio's scaling to different rooms and the products that they offer for that are a bit more limited. And Ever Solo is the same. Wim is decent at multi-room, but again, it's just Wim pucks. If you're going to be something that you want to use day in, day out, just works reliably, works correctly, it is very hard to look past Blue Sound. It's exceptionally good at what it does. And it will support all the different streaming services, access your library, and it will never, ever... Well, apparently there are people out there who have made BlueOS die. I don't know what they're doing to it, but it's largely unkillable. So that would be, at the moment, that would be my choice. And everything from the Node Nano, the full-size Node, we've got there's this new £1,000... It's not called a Mega Node. I want to call it a Mega Node, but it's not a Mega Node. But there's a £1,000 one, which we'll be looking at as soon as we can as well, which it promises new bells and whistles. That could be quite something quite spectacular. So okay. we'll see what happens from there.
And another question. Mm. Do I need a touch screen, a 5-inch or a 7-inch? Or what is the point of the touch screen?
I like album art displaying on the front of a product. It's an OCD thing. I like it. I genuinely have. Other people don't want the product to do anything. They want it to be completely inert. And I don't know which camp you fall into. I like having art display. I'd always have done. It's something I find very pleasing. I like the Ever Solos for this reason. You don't need it, especially if something's got a decent app. Your control point will always be your phone or tablet. And it's worth pointing out that Apple, you know, they're not bad at this screen business. If you're using an iPad Pro, the screen on the front of any hi-fi product is going to look like it escaped from 1995. So, again, you choose what you want. I just like a little bit of extra visual information. I just always find it quite pleasant to look at. But a number of people violently disagree with me. So, see what you think.
No, I just thought it's one of those questions that's out there and people have asked. So, that's the reason it was put to you. I'm like you. I like to see, although a 7-inch screen from across the room, it starts to get a little bit difficult at our age to make.
Yes, it does. So it's...
Anyway, right, before we wrap up, I have a request for all of you out there. I am doing something that is well beyond my comfort zone, probably well beyond most people's comfort zones. I'm running a half marathon on the 8th of September, the Great North Run, 13.1 miles. Up until very recently, the furthest I'd ever run was a 5K park run. I only started running 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm doing this, and I'm doing it for Diabetes UK. I am trying to raise as much money as I can. So a little bit of an appeal If you don't mind me doing this, I very rarely do this, and Ed very rarely does this unless he's growing a moustache. I do have a page, a GoFundMe page. If you feel in any way inclined to give me a little bit of support, I'm doing this on the 8th of September, which is before this podcast goes out. And I'll update you all on how I do. Just to give you some idea of where I am, I did a 10-miler on Sunday past before recording this podcast, and I did 3 miles this morning. So the training's going okay at the moment,
It's
but I still
impressive.
need, even after 10 miles, I still need to find another park run on top of that to get to my 13.1 miles from a half marathon. But I think it's doable. I'm looking forward to it. But again, we don't normally do this. We don't normally ask, but it is well out of my comfort zone. It's something that I'm really doing to push, and hopefully raise some money for a decent charity as well. So the details are on screen if you're watching on YouTube. If not, I'll and you want them, I shall put them in the thread on Navy Forums for this podcast. So before we finish, we need to do the current competitions and our supporters, Ed. So competition-wise, what do we have?
We've got a competition, Phil, but it is a doozy. It's a hell of a thing. You can win an LG Cinebeam Q projector worth £1,000. It's a compact and portable 4K projector with wireless connectivity for streaming, movie gaming, and movie watching and gaming wherever you want, which is quite a cool thing.
It looks cool as well. I've got to say
It
they've
does.
really gone out with the design on this one.
Brilliantly, it ends. The closing date is my brother's birthday, so I'm going to enter the competition and see if I can kill two birds with one stone here. So, closing date is midnight on Tuesday, the 15th of October, 2024. This competition is open to eligible AV Forums members over 18 who are residents of the UK and the Isle of Man, it turns out as well. Head over to avforums.com/competitions to enter. If you don't, or if you've already got the projector, it bears repeating that the movies team, there are discs coming out of every orifice, DVDs, Blu-rays, and 4K discs available for patrons and standard AVF members to win. Some of the films are genuinely worth winning. Some of them, well, if you need a drinks coaster, you're laughing. And they're also open to eligible AV Forums members or patrons resident in the UK. We have some previous winners. Stevio67 won the Denon AVR X1800 HAVR worth £700, courtesy of Peter Tyson. BHXTC won a pair of Q Acoustics M40 powered micro tower speakers and QED digital cables worth £1,069. Well done to you both. Badger Stuter won a copy of Chinatown on 50th anniversary collector's edition 4K worth £40. Well done to you, sir. We have new patrons: J.A. Kamal, Sauerkraut, Cloud Atlas, Ewan Innes, and Les Hewitt. Well, welcome to you all. And we've been bought a coffee by T, which I think is brilliant, and Paul Huggard. And they bought three coffees. So thank you ever so much to you both. Thank you
Three
all for
coffees
joining.
each, so that's excellent. Thank you very much, and thank you to all our new patrons. Your support, it is appreciated. So thank you very much, and well done to everybody that won in the competition. Some cracking prizes there, and like we say, that LG projector. I haven't reviewed it as yet. We may get it in for review at some point, but I have seen it in action at one of the press launches, and it's a cute little thing that. You keep your kids happy, you can set them up gaming in the bedroom or whatever. Just point it at a white wall and or take it
Away it goes.
outside, and if you get any decent weather this year, you could take it outside and put it up against the side of the house and watch movies in the garden. Great little prize that one. So thanks for everybody's support on that one. And again, thank you to Ed. We
Yes,
just
thank you,
need
sir.
your album, vinyl, and playlist, please.
I thought you've actually deliberately forgotten this. I was complaining. August was a dreadful month for new music. Normally there's something which gets me genuinely excited, and I was racking my brains for August, and pretty much there wasn't an album which I has grown on me and I've enjoyed the more I've listened to it. So it is both album and vinyl of the month. Is an album called Perak, Perik, by The Mallows, Theemallows. It's got a cracking album cover. It's in the giant retro soul sound. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I haven't listened to the vinyl because I haven't ordered the vinyl, but there's multiple different versions of it available, which normally speaks to them paying a bit of attention to what they're doing. That is where it is for August in terms of a single music choice. Playlist, no one's going to like me for this one either. Cobuz has done a playlist of the first 4 years of the 4AD record label. buckle up for that one. When it's good, it's very, very good. When it's not good, you will query why 4AD spent any money on that artist at all. But the good outweighs the bad. And I think those of us with a fondness for the 80s will be familiar with it, with some of the more headline acts for 4AD. But it's a reminder that they really did push all manner of stuff. And some of it is brilliant. Some of it you'll work out, wonder why it never caught on. Other things you'll know instantly why it never caught on. So hopefully there'll be something for you all there to enjoy. And as ever, we can port that across to other streaming services if you are not a Cobus subscriber.
Excellent. Well, thank you again, Ed. And that is it for the AV Forums Hi-Fi podcast this month. Our next episode of the podcast is the TV Display Calibration Edition on Monday, the 9th of September. We're talking about the truth of a calibration. Is it worth it? What is it? Why are people getting up in arms about it these days? We're going to talk all about that on the 9th of September, so tune in for that one. And remember, the AV Forums podcast YouTube channel, you'll get all the podcasts from 7 p.m. on that channel, so subscribe to that. Of course, we're also available audio only on the usual providers out there. And of course, you can buy us a coffee if you think we've entertained you enough today. You can join us as a patron, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AV Forums. But that's it. I'm Phil Hinton. Thank you very much for watching and listening, and we'll catch you again very soon. Goodbye.